Today, our lesson, this today being December the 26th, 2021, it's the last Sunday in the month of December and the last Sunday in 2021. I think God prepared this lesson with a good intent. It's entitled, Walk with Intention. And I thought, as I was studying this week for this lesson, just how good God has been to us. And how you and I today, as Christians, we need to be walking with good intentions for this next school, or start to say school year, but next physical year coming up in 2022. This next year is going to be, I believe there are going to be a lot of challenges for every child of God. I believe there's going to be a lot of challenges for those that know Christ as their Savior. But you know what? God is able to sustain us and to strengthen us and to empower us to do His will in all that we do for Him. And I want us to look at the lesson today. It's going to be in Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. Our theme verses today from this for this lesson is from verses 22, 23, and 24. And Paul wrote there, he said, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man. Now, ladies, that's not your husband, okay? But each of us have an old man. And you know, the old way of living, we remember before we got saved. And Paul says here, he says, put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And I want to make this little statement for you today that maybe you'll think about as you consider the lesson today. I pray and I ask the Lord this week that I could walk a closer walk with Him this year, this coming year than I did this past year. You know, there was a lot of obstacles this past year with COVID and with all kinds of things going on. There's been a lot of obstacles. But even through the obstacles, God has been good. Amen? God has been faithful. And my desire is that I may walk for Christ in 2022 even greater than I walked with Him in 2021. And folks, again, we do not know what tomorrow holds. But praise God, I know who holds tomorrow. And I know that He is still in control of everything. I was texting back and forth with Pastor Lim this morning from Cebu, Philippines. And they are going through some horrible situations right now. He sent me several pictures of the devastation from this typhoon that came through. The week, 2 weeks before that, they were dealing with typhoid along with COVID. They've had folks die from it. They've had folks hospitalized from it. And boy, it just seemed like the adversary is fighting them in every manner that he can. But I tried to encourage him again this morning to keep his eyes on Jesus. And folks, that's what we need to be doing in this new year coming up in 2022. We've got to keep our eyes on Jesus. Amen. Don't let the things around us bog us down and get us discouraged that we stop doing what we're doing for the Lord. We need to keep on going. Folks are going to hurt you. That's just the natural man. Lost folks do what lost folks do. And they live for the devil and they don't know anything else better to do. But you know what? If a person gets saved, they cast off the old man and they put on the new man. Amen? And we're going to look at that this morning. Last week. Last week. You weren't here, but I was, okay? And I recorded the lesson, and I hope you listened to it online, and they're all out there. But last Sunday, we looked at Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. And there we were studying how the Apostle Paul encouraged the believers to seek unity with one another in the Lord. You've got to remember, there were Jews and Gentiles in the same church. The Jews had hated the Gentiles hated the Jews, but now that they were saved, Paul reminded them that they are all one in Christ. Amen? We are each one in Christ. Listen, I'm from the South, okay? You're from the North, okay? There was a time in this country where the North and the South were fighters against one another. It divided homes, brothers against brothers, families against families. But you know what? Christ makes all the difference. Amen? Christ makes the difference. And in today's lesson, Paul is reminding the Christians there in Ephesus. He's reminding them of the importance of making a clean break from the world. As children of God, as born again children of God, they needed to make a clean break from the things of this old world, from the old way of living in their manners and their conversations. And you know what? We've got to do the same thing as Christians in our day today. I never will forget when I got saved. I got saved on March the 28th, 1975. I played in the concert band, the jazz band, the marching band there in school. But when I got saved, the Spirit of God said, hey, you can't be playing this music and you can't be playing these things. I had a solo part. I played the baritone horn and the trumpet. And I played the baritone horn in a concert that they did. And I didn't know at the time. I thought it was being religious. It was called Jesus Christ Superstar. And I thought, well, it's talking about Jesus. It's got to be good. You know, I didn't know. I was lost. I didn't know. And I looked back at that and I thought, Lord, I am so sorry. I did not know. I did that in ignorance. I did not know. But now that I do know, I have to make a decision. I was in the 10th grade. It was the latter part of the 10th grade. And we had to get our next year's assignments. We were changing schools again. And I was going to another school then. And I was going to have to change to another school to go to 11th and 12th grade. And I did not sign up for band because I did not want to get tempted with the same old things that I was doing before I got saved. And they asked me, they said, well, why are you not doing it this year? And why are you not doing this? And I was kind of shy and timid about it. And I said, well, I just can't do it this year. I just can't do it. But down deep in my heart, I knew that God said, hey, you can't be doing this stuff anymore. You belong to me now, not to the world. And so I remember how that those things happened in my life. And as Paul is talking to these folks here, he's telling them to walk with intention. The intention being to serve God in all that you do and say, in all the places that you go, in all the places. Somebody asked me about going to go see a movie, and I told them, I said, no, I can't go. And they said, well, why not? It's a good movie. I said, you're right, it is. But it's the fact of me going there. It's not what I do, but it's what people see me do, and they think I may be doing. And it's all the other stuff that got advertised in there. I can't go and do that. I can't do it. I can't do it. I remember down in North Carolina, there was a video. It was a VHS then. And somebody wanted me to return a VHS for them. I said, sure, I'll go down and take it to them. I said, where is it at? And it was a place that sold VHS movies. They rented them and things like that. But they also sold and rented bad stuff. And when I found out, I drove up there to it because I didn't know where it was at, didn't know what the store was, and I took it over there for them. And I got there to the store, and I got ready to walk in. I looked up at the name of it, and I saw the advertisements on the window. And I said, Lord, I can't go in here. And it was like the devil was on one side and said, but you told them you'd do this for them. Are you going to lie now? Are you going to tell them an untruth? And the Lord's saying, hey, you go back and explain to them why you can't do it and why they shouldn't go in there too. And that's what I did. Folks, we need to make a clean break from the old lifestyles. There needs to be a difference between the child of God and the child of Satan. And you know what? The sad thing in our world today is that the churches have gotten so worldly and the world has gotten so churchy, you can't tell the two apart. They're doing the concerts, and they're doing all the other stuff, and they're just come as you want to go and do as you want to do. Some folks are now even have church on Saturday because they need their people to have a family day on Sunday. And I thought, is Sunday still not the Lord's day? Is Sunday still not the first day that we come together in celebration of a risen Savior? Listen, folks, we need to get back in the book and let the book get in us. And I want to encourage you to today, put on the new man and put on the things of God. Take off the old things of the world. Stay away from it. The music, the things of this old world, that they draw you in. They want to draw you in. And you know what? We've got to be drawn closer to Jesus in this new year. So I want to encourage you this morning with that. I want you to look at the lesson today. I don't know how it was when you got saved, but when I got saved, God gave me a new wonder. Amen? I did not want to do the things I used to do before I was saved. I didn't want to do it. And I thank God that I had some Sunday school teachers and some bus workers that picked me up and brought me to church and loved me and taught me the Word of God and told me to get into the Word of God. I had a Bible, and one of the guys that his dad was the bus director at the church where I went to, and he was going to college. He was going away to go to college. And normally, you give the person going away to college, you give them a gift of some sort to, you know, encourage them about going to school. He brought me a gift before he went to college. He brought me a new King James Bible. And it was an old Scofield Bible. It had all kinds of notes and things in it. And he said, I noticed your other Bible there. You had a lot of stuff in it. And I did. Before I got saved, I was a part of a... You're going to laugh when I tell you this. I was part of a UFO study group, okay? And I was just a young man. And I'd seen strange lights in the skies, and I thought, man, these are UFOs. Aliens are going to come and get us. And I was a part of a group in school, and that was a big thing back then. And we'd go out looking at the UFOs at night and all this stuff, and it was just crazy. But one of the leaders of that group was teaching us how that it was not God that created the earth, but aliens spawned us on this planet. And all through that Bible that I had, and he was using the King James Bible, all through that Bible that I had references about things that he had taught about UFOs and about how the aliens had done this and aliens had done that. And it was aliens that people worshiped as gods. And he said, you need to get away from all that. And you need to get into the Word of God. And I did. And I began to read that Bible. I've got it in my office. I keep it in there to remind me where God brought me from. And folks, listen to me. I'm telling you today, there are two ways to walk in this life for Christ. There's a wrong way to walk, and there's a right way to walk. And we need to be aware of both of them and beware of both of them. Because one will draw you closer to Christ, where the other will put you farther away from Christ. Listen, people will let you down. I know I probably let down people a lot in this life. I'm just a mere mortal man. And you know what? I've probably let a lot of people down in this world. But I don't want to let my Savior down. He's never let me down. And I want to be an encouragement to each of you to help you to choose to live for God, even in the face of persecution, in the face of trials, in the face of making decisions that are difficult to make due to family situations or job situations or other situations that come up. And I want you to see today, we can either choose to love the Lord enough and be an obedient child of God, or we can choose not to love the Lord, and in so doing, we become a disobedient child of God. My children are mine. No matter what comes our way, they're always mine. The birth made them mine. Both Heather and Stephen are ours. The birth made them ours. But listen to me, if they choose to love us and obey us, it makes us proud. It brings joy to our hearts, does it not, as a parent, to see your children walking in truth and in obedience unto God and to you. But you know what? When they choose to disobey, it brings shame, embarrassment maybe. It brings disappointment, discouragement. It disheartens your heart. Now, they're still my child, but they've made a wrong choice. And what we've got to do is encourage one another to walk in truth and in righteousness and to make the right choices. Amen? To make the right choices. I want you to look at it today. We're going to divide the lesson up into two ways, the right way to walk and the wrong way to walk. And I want you to look at, first of all, the wrong way to walk. Paul describes that walk as a dark road walk. Look at what he said in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17, 18, and 19. He said, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness." Boy, that is a bad testimony, wouldn't you think? In these verses, Paul described the lifestyle of some of the Gentile believers as being one that resembled a long walk down a dark road. No light. Many had evidently chosen to go back to the things of the world. They'd gone back. Listen, I grew up in a Moravian church. And when I got saved, I couldn't go back to that church anymore because they didn't teach the gospel. Many of you came out of a Catholic church or a Methodist church or a Presbyterian or a Lutheran church or even some Baptist churches that were not preaching truth. And you know what, folks? I couldn't go back to those things anymore because I want to walk righteously for God. And here in the Bible talked about how that the devil had fooled these folks and he had caused them to think that they could just live any way they wanted to live because they were saved. They were on their way to heaven. Listen, the devil knows that you are saved forever. Do you understand that? The devil understands that you can never lose your salvation. But the devil comes back and says, "But God knows your heart. Oh, God knows that you love Him, but you can live any way you want to. It's all right. It's not a problem." And folks, we have to make some choices. Look at this. When the devil would have these folks to think that they could have their cake and eat it too, he was deceiving them. And Paul recognized that. And he tried to help them to see that they did not need to be walking in the ways of the Gentile flesh anymore. You didn't need to do that. Those Gentiles around them who had remained lost in their sin, they were still walking in a very vain lifestyle. They chose only to please self. And you know what? That is one of the greatest sins that we could ever do, is just to please self. When I got married, okay, there were things I had to learn to do that did not please self. Pick up your socks. Pick up your underclothes, you know. Pick up your dirty clothes. Do this, do that. My wife is a hard taskmaster. No, I'm just kidding you. She's a good woman. But you know what? I had to learn to die to self so that we could live at peace with one another, okay? She had to learn to do the same thing, okay? She had to learn to do things that I was used to doing that she didn't do. We had to die to self. You know why we died to self? Because we became one in Christ when we got married. And we had to live together. And we had to make sure that it lasted and it was right. There was no fighting and carrying on like that. Listen, when we walk with Christ, We're not pleasing self. We're pleasing the Lord. We're to walk to please Him. And as He wrote to these folks whom He so dearly loved, He looked at them and He thought about them and He wrote to them stating, walk not as other Gentiles walk. I remember my kids when we would tell them, don't do this, don't do that. They'd say, but such and such is doing it. Sherry's doing it. Marcus is doing it. You know, Dusty's doing it. Why can't I do it? And I said, well, number one, because I said don't do it. Number two, you know that it's not right to do. They'd hang their head, yeah, but. I said, but nothing. Don't do it. Don't do it. They had to die to self, and they had to learn to live to please mama and daddy. And folks, that's what we need to be doing today with Christ. If we love Him, we will choose to obey Him. Amen? And we will do what God said do. Listen, if you choose to walk the same way you walked as before you were saved, you're choosing to walk the wrong way. You're choosing to walk the wrong way. Don't do it. This is what Paul was telling them. Listen, it would be no different for my wife to say, yes, I know I'm married, but there were some other guys who was a lot richer than you are. You know, I'm going to go date around with them for a little while and all this stuff. Listen, you don't do that once you got married. You don't do that. You've been joined to one. And it's the same way with us in Christ. Folks, I don't know if you understand it today, but people who are lost act the way they do. They do the things that they do because they're lost. You and I that are saved, we don't need to be living that way. We don't need to be partaking of the same things that they used to do. Those folks that are lost have their spiritual understanding darkened by sin. Do you understand that? It was the same way with you and me. I was trying to live a life as a sprinkled Moravian. And then I got baptized in another church. I was trying to treat my neighbor like I would think that I would want to be treated. And guess what? That was not what it took for me to go to heaven. It never changed my heart. But when I got saved, God did the work from the inside out. Amen? And He changed the inside and gave me a new wonder so that I would want to do what He had saved me to do. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, He said, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them. Why? Because they are spiritually discerned. And then Paul went on to write in Romans chapter 1. If you got a moment, turn over to the book of Romans chapter 1. And you need to mark these verses down in your Bible. You will understand after reading them why the world does what the world does today. And if you start there in verse number 19, Romans chapter 1, verse 19. He writes there and he says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. But look what he said. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Folks, it was only by the grace of God that you and I are saved. Amen? And it was the blessed light of the gospel that opened up my eyes to help me to see and understand that I was transgressing against God. The light drew me to the truth of the Word of God. And folks that walk in darkness don't understand truth. They don't see truth because they're still walking in darkness. And that is why it is so important that you and I, as truly born-again believers in Christ, we walk what we talk. Listen, your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. Okay? You get that? Your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. And where you walk, how you walk, what you do for God, it makes a difference, an eternal difference. You could be the one that would make a difference between somebody remaining lost in their sin and they one day say, man, there's something different about them. I think I'll go and ask them what's so different about them. And you get to share with them the message of the gospel. You go back to the book of Romans chapter 1, and he talks about all these things and why they do what they do. They did what they did because they were lost in their sin. And Paul described that type of lost living there in chapter 1, the book of Romans. Verse number 28, he said, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. You know what happened? They rejected truth. They refused to do what God said do. Even though they knew truth, it was revealed to them. It was made manifest by God unto them. They knew what was right and what was wrong, but they rejected truth. They refused to accept truth. So God turned them over to a reprobate mind. Is that not what we're seeing in our country today? More and more we're seeing how that folks that things that used to be considered wrong and still are now considered to be right because it pleases the flesh. And now, I read an article this past week of a church in Chicago. It was a Lutheran church. And the pastor decided he was going to try to reach the children in a new way. So he dressed up as he really felt he ought to, as a drag queen, and came into that church building and read Bible stories to those children to show them the love of God. Folks, it ought not be. It ought not be. But we know why it is, because they've been turned over to a reprobate mind so that they do not know the difference between right and wrong. In verse number 18 of Ephesians chapter 4, he said, because of the blindness of their heart, he goes into verse 19, says, who being past feeling have given themselves over. What does that mean? It means they made a choice and they chose to do what pleased the flesh over what pleased God. They chose because they were blind in their heart. They were walking after the darkness of this whole world, who being past feeling. In other words, they lost their sensitivity to the Holy Spirit of God. How do you do that? You do that when you quench Him. How do you quench the Holy Spirit? You refuse to accept His truth. You refuse to walk holding His guiding hand. And folks, that's what they had done. And Paul said, they're past feeling. They've given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. In other words, because they had rejected truth and they resisted the Holy Spirit's power of conviction of sin. They resisted that in their lives so that they might be drawn to Christ and be saved. They rejected all those things. Now they lived in a state of insensitivity. You know what that means? They lived only to please self. Is that not where we're at in our world today? We are there, folks. They have been walking in the darkness of sin. They're so insensitive to anything that is truth. And if you talk about truth, it infuriates folks today. They don't want to hear it. How did they do it? They walked the wrong path. Now, what does the wrong path do? It takes you away from the light. Look at it here in verses 20 and 21. Walking the wrong way in this life draws you away from the light of truth. He said to them, in verses 20 and 21, he said, but ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus. Listen, When they walk in the wrong direction, they are walking contrary to the Word of God, to the truth of the Word of God. And soon they find themselves not even walking in light anymore. They're lost. And they're living like a lost man. I've seen folks that backslid, have gotten so far away from God, and now they're not in church. Oh, yeah, I still love the Lord. Really? And you don't go to church? You don't fellowship with the brethren? You don't go out and try to tell anybody about Christ anymore? Listen to me. It ought not be this way, folks. We ought to live with the intentions of glorifying God in this flesh. This is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God that dwells within us. And we ought to use it for His honor and His glory. Notice the difference that Paul describes here in these verses, stating, "But ye have not so learned Christ." Christ does not cause you to walk in darkness. Satan will cause you to walk away from the light. Okay? He will cause that. I like being in the light. Amen? I love the light. Man, I don't trip over things. I don't bust my knee or my big toe on things. Listen, I want to walk in the light because Christ said, when you get saved, the old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. I want to walk the way He walks. But then He says, there is a right way to walk. Now, I want you to look at this with me today. Beginning here in verse number 22, God's Word teaches us here that there is a right way to walk. And Paul explains that to these Ephesian believers by showing them how they need to walk now that they are saved. First off, he tells them, you need to walk uprightly. Now, that does not mean that they were coming from a monkey and turning it into a man, okay? Evolution teaches, man, we used to walk on all fours, and now we all walk upright, and we're men now, okay? That's not what he's talking about. Look at what he said here in verse number 22. You say, "Preacher, how can I walk uprightly in a world that does not?" Well, let me show you how he does it. Number one, you put off the old man. You put off those things that you used to do before you got saved. Look what he said. Verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation. And that word conversation means the manner of living, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. I looked up that phrase as I studied it this week. I looked up that phrase, put off. And that phrase literally means to renounce something. It means to lay it aside or discard it as worthless and unwanted anymore. Man, does that not explain what it means to put off the old man? You know what? When I got saved, I didn't want to walk that way anymore. I didn't want to live that way anymore. I didn't want to say those words. I'd lived with cursing and fussing and carrying on all these things all my life. And I didn't want to walk that way anymore. I'll be honest with you. I had seen what sinful ways of living and selfishness had done in marriage. And that's why I dated Lisa for so long. I wanted to make sure I had the right one. I told the Lord, I said, "Lord, I'll be willing to go and preach to pygmies in Africa if that's what it means. If you don't want me to get married, then that's fine. I'll go as a missionary and preach to the pygmies. But Lord, really, I really want a godly wife." And you know what? God gave me the answer to my prayer. And little did I know, she was on the north side of town praying for the same thing. God brought us together. And you know what? God has been good to us. But we had to put off the old man. Oh, that you and I would choose today to put off the former things in this life. When we get tried and we get tempted and we get persecuted and we run into instances where we're tempted to just lose our cool, we need to put off the old way of living, the former conversation. We put off the old man and we walk uprightly for God. Secondly, he said here in verse 23, he said, you need to renew your mind. There are a lot of phrases and words I remembered being said that just naturally would come out my mouth if I was not careful, because that's what I'd heard all my life. But when I got saved, I couldn't do that anymore. Amen? I couldn't do it. And the Spirit of God had to renew my mind, my heart. It had to regenerate it. It had to make it new again. Look what he said. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. When we got saved, we allowed the Holy Spirit of God to renew that spiritual man. He had to make things new for us. He renewed my heart. He renewed my mind. He renewed everything. And then look what he said, do in verse 24. He said, after you've put off the old man and you've allowed God, the Holy Spirit, to renew your mind, your heart, he said, now put on the new man. When I work outside, if I'm mowing or I'm cutting wood or something like that, and I get dirty and nasty and sweaty, my clothes are dirty, okay? I got dirt everywhere, got grass everywhere, I'm just nasty. I come inside and I take off the old clothes and I just go and pull out the closet some new clothes and put them on. Is that the right thing to do? No. I need to take off the old things and then I need to get washed up so I could put on the new things. We renew our mind, we renew our spirit in the Word of God. And you know what he does? He allows us then to put on the new man. Look what he said, verse 24. And that you may put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. I hope you'll overlook my singing this morning. But when I thought about this, I thought about a little song I used to sing with my kids on the bus. And it said this. It said, oh, the best thing in my life I ever did do. Oh, the best thing in my life I ever did do. Oh, the best thing in my life I ever did do was to take off that old robe and put on the new. Well, the old robe was dirty, all tattered and torn, but the new robe was spotless, had never been worn. Oh, the best thing in my life I ever did do was to take off that old robe and put on the new. Amen. And you know what? When we get saved, man, we put on the new robe of righteousness. God dresses us to resemble him. Why? Because we are his ambassadors. Amen? We are his ambassadors. But number four, look at this. We need now to demonstrate that new life in Christ in all that we do. Look at it, verses 25 through 29. He writes of this new demonstration. He said, here's how you do it. Wherefore you put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we're members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. But rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Brother, there's a lot of putting away here, isn't it? Amen? We don't lie anymore. We don't steal anymore. Listen, God gives us all that we have, and if we need more, God will supply our every need, folks. We don't have to steal. I never will forget the store manager calling my dad because I stole some bread. And we were hungry. I was hungry and I went in and I just took the things that did not belong to me. And he made me go up there and return it. Return it to that man. And that store owner looked at me. He said, you know I could call the police and have you put in jail for doing this, don't you? That's shoplifting. And man, I was scared to death. I was scared to death he was going to do it. He said, basically, he said, now go and sin no more, okay? I didn't ever steal again after that, amen? Because I was afraid of getting caught. But then he said here also that we need to be cautious. We need to walk cautiously as Christians. Listen, we need to walk uprightly, but we need to walk cautiously. Look what it said in verse 30. As a summary of all these written to these folks, he said, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. I looked up that word grieve. And that word grieve, it means when you grieve somebody, to grieve them means that you cause them to suffer, to be in distress, and you cause great sorrow in the heart of the one who loves and cares for you as much as they do. That someone that Paul was speaking of here was the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God dwells within you and you and you and you and you and in me. And when we choose not to obey Him, we grieve His heart. We grieve Him, and we need to walk cautiously so that we do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. I never will forget, as God was dealing with my heart about preaching, I remember praying about it one time. I said, but Lord, I could be in the Air Force, I could be a doctor, I could have so much more money I could give to the church. He said, if it was like the Spirit of God spoke my heart and said, if you don't obey me, I'll find somebody who will. And you know what? It seemed like I was more afraid not to do God's will than I was to do God's will. So I chose not to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Let's walk with intent this new year. Let's walk cautiously. Let's walk uprightly, but then let's walk gently. Look what they said. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake have forgiven you. Folks are going to hurt you. People are going to do things wrong. And the very thing that you want to do is get back, get even. But God says here, you put all that bitterness away from you. You put all that wrath away. You put the anger, the clamor. Clamor is loud, obnoxious yelling and screaming and carrying on. Listen, put it away. Evil speaking, let it all be put away from you. And all malice, any thought of doing wrong, put it away and live for God, remembering the way that God loved you before you were saved. You need to love others the same way. I think about this new year coming up. And folks, I'm not trying to talk lifestyle evangelism. That's not what I'm trying to say. But I'm trying to tell you that all of us who call ourselves Christians, we need to walk like Christ walked. We need to live like Christ lived so that others might see and know that what we've got is really real. And listen, there's a lot to be done in 2021, and the days are ending, but there's still a lot to do in 2022. Let's do it for Christ today. Let's walk with intention. Father, thank you, dear God, for your love and your mercy. Thank you for this blessed Christmas season, that we can celebrate your love for us given unto sinful man. Help us now, Lord, to love you enough to choose to do that which is right, to walk uprightly, to walk in the ways of God. And Lord, I pray, God, if there be anybody that's listening to my voice today that may not be saved, I pray, God, that you'll draw them unto you, that they might come to know you as their own personal Savior. And God, we'll thank you for what you do. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Love you today. Appreciate you being in Sunday school class. Merry Christmas to you.